Father, we are grateful this morning for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. We pray that Thou wilt open the Word to us today. Help us to understand the truth of what we're reading. And grant, Lord, as we recognize the awesomeness of this time that is to come upon the earth, we will be prepared for the coming of our Lord. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles today, you will want to open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 6. In the sixth chapter of the book of the Revelation, there is the record of the opening of the seven sealed book. As you know, we have been studying this for some time. We have seen four of the seals open, and four horsemen of the apocalypse ride forth. We have seen the fifth seal open, and our vision was focused upon a great host of people who had given their hearts and their lives as testimonies for the Lord Jesus Christ, martyrs for the cause of Christ, if you please. We learned a number of things about the people in heaven because of this particular scene that was brought to our attention. Then we watched as the Lord Jesus Christ opened the sixth seal of the seventh sealed book. And when the sixth seal was opened, great cataclysmic things occurred upon the earth. Physical destruction such as man could hardly visualize. We pointed out to you that this should not be difficult for us to believe, because this sort of thing happened before. When God visited the plagues upon Egypt, destruction upon the earth occurred in somewhat the same manner, without the great intensity, that it will occur during the tribulation period. We pointed out to you that men who believe their Bibles have no difficulty in accepting the plagues as being literal plagues. Why should they have any difficulty in accepting the idea that what is presented in the book of the Revelation represents literal judgment upon the earth? We said that we would not depend alone upon what we found in the book of the Revelation for proof that judgment is coming. Rather, we would examine other passages of Scripture with you which have not yet been fulfilled, which declare that physical judgment is coming upon the earth, the language of which is such that we have to accept it at its ordinary, primary, literal meaning, or not accept it at all. We continue our thinking along that line by drawing to your attention today another passage of Scripture. Will you turn with me, please, to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24. The latter portion of it particularly is describing this period of time about which we are speaking, namely, the tribulation. But emphasis is placed not so much on the beginning of the tribulation as on the end of the tribulation. Will you notice, please, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, which means, of course, at the close of the tribulation. Now notice what happens. Immediately after those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven. Notice carefully, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Now, if you were listening very carefully as we read the passage of Scripture, you will notice one difference between the occurrences at the end and the occurrences at the beginning of the last 3.5 years. That is the last statement of verse 29 to which we refer. The powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Don't read your Bibles carelessly. Don't think just because you have been reading about the effects of the judgment upon the sun and the moon that the powers of the heaven refer to the sun and the moon. They don't. They refer to a group of beings who are described in Ephesians 6:11. Now let's think clearly today. In this portion in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 24, there will very definitely be an effect upon the sun and the moon as God's judgment is poured out upon the earth. But there will be also an effect upon the powers of the heavens. Are we to read our Bibles carelessly and assume that the powers of the heavens are just another phrase for the sun and the moon? I think not. I think the powers of the heavens are referring to a group of beings who are described in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Will you turn there with me in your Bibles, please? Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now notice the last phrase of the paragraph, please. Spiritual wickedness in high places. That does not refer to the evil that may exist in the White House or in the Kremlin. Spiritual wickedness in high places refers rather to the wicked spirits in the heavenlies. That is the correct translation of the passage. Wicked spirits in heavenly places. What we are reading is that the heavens all about us are peopled with a well-organized group of spiritual beings who are called the rulers of the darkness of this world. They are called wicked spirits. The devil is their leader, and he is called the prince and the power of the air. We read in Matthew chapter 24, verse 29, that when the physical bodies in the heavens are disturbed by the opening of the sixth seal, the spiritual beings in the heavens are disturbed as well. They are alerted that there is going to be an invasion, for from the third heaven, where God's throne is, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return with all the heavenly armies, and they are going to come through the very atmosphere which belongs to the devil. They are going to sweep through the territory of the devil. You can well understand why. The atmospheric heavens, which is the territory of the devil, will be shaken, and the beings who live there will be shaken as well. I suggest to you that the opening of the sixth seal is a very literal judgment of God upon the earth. Now, this that I'm about to say to you, you may feel is too literal. You may feel that it is too drastic, but I must say it because I believe it. If you will notice in Revelation chapter 4, verse 6, you will notice that the heavens are going to be rolled back as a scroll. I believe that means literally what it says. I believe the heavens are going to be opened, and I believe that men on the earth are going to have a vision of God on the throne. They are going to have a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. So horrible is that vision that when they realize that they are looking into the face of a holy God, they are going to hide in the dens and cry for the rocks of the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the face of Him who sits on the throne. I suggest to you that if you cannot accept this as literal, you have to have a reason for changing it from a literal to a spiritual interpretation in the middle of a paragraph. You say, I don't see how that can be. Well, it has happened before. And if it has happened once, it can happen again. Do you remember when Stephen was being stoned to death? He was gazing steadfastly into the heavens. And what does the Spirit of God say? It says that Stephen saw the Lord Jesus Christ standing at the right hand of God. Now, you can say that God worked a miracle in his eyes, if you want to, or I can say that God opened the heavens for him to see it. We have in the book of the Revelation certainly ample proof that God opened the heavens there. I don't know how you feel about this, but I am glad I'm a Christian. I am glad I know the Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior. And I am glad that I will not be left on the earth when this terrible thing comes to pass, when the heavens are opened and the eyes of every man are riveted on a holy God. I am glad that when I stand in the presence of God, I will have nothing to fear. I am glad that when I stand in the presence of God, I will not need to tremble. I'm glad that when I stand in the presence of God, I can stand there with all boldness, because, strange as it may seem, and difficult as it may be to understand, God will not see me when I stand there. He will see me rather clothed in the holiness of His Son, and He will not find one thing wrong with me, because He's going to present me without spot or blemish or any such thing. And I would encourage you today, if you have never trusted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, to trust Him now. Mark what I say unto you this very moment. You are going to stand in the presence of a living God one day. You can stand in His presence with perfect confidence, or you can look into His holy face and cry for the rocks and the mountains to fall on you. Which shall it be? How will you face God? Perhaps we should close our meditation today with the question with which the Spirit of God closes His in the last part of verse 17. The great day of His wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand?